The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Well, good evening, everyone. I don't know if you can hear it where you are, but there's a heck of a storm going on outside my window. And it was wonderful to listen to the wind howling while we were doing our zazen. I hope some of you are able to enjoy that with me. This is quite dramatic. So recently, Corinna and I have been watching a TV show that I thought was a good introduction to what I want to speak of tonight, which, you know, is basically what we do during our Fusatsu ceremony. And this show is called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Apparently, it's quite a phenomenon. Some of you might have seen it. But Marie Kondo is a Japanese woman who lives in the United States, doesn't speak English, but goes around with her interpreter and helps various people tidy up their homes according to a method that she uses. And basically, to me, the heart of her method is intimacy. So you don't just throw all your old stuff out. You know, you spend a little time with each item. And if you throw an item out, you thank it, you know, for its service. And what she does that particularly impresses me is before she starts the tidying process, you know, she goes into these houses, which are often a total mess, you know, complete chaos. Makes me feel good about my place by comparison. And what she does is she gets down on the floor in the seiza position, bows, and is silent for a minute or two, and she calls this introducing herself to the house and asking the house permission to tidy it up. And the person or persons who she's helping out, they don't quite know what's going on. You know, they're just Americans like us, but they immediately fall silent when she does this. So there's this palpable couple of minutes of just silence, stillness, and concentration before embarking on the tidying process. And that reminded me quite a lot about what we do in Fusatsu in our ceremony of repentance. Because as many of you who have participated in the ceremony recall, the first thing we do is we make atonement. We get into Chokyi, you know, much like Marie Kondo does. And we say, all evil karma ever committed by me since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth, and thought, now I atone for it all. Now I'm at one with it all. And this is extremely critical to the process of atonement, repentance, to, in a way, tidying up our karma. It's the reason that making this space making the space to be at one with is so important is because it's a way of looking at our life that we're not so accustomed to. Normally, you know, we're used to looking at our life in terms of time. The stuff that happened in the past was bad. I'm going to change it. It's going to be good in the future. But from the point of view of time, atoning for all the karma doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, there's a whole lot of bad karma, not only that I wasn't present for back in the caveman days, but I didn't even know what was going on. So in terms of time, it just seems impossible to be at one with it. And the time perspective, of course, is important. But when we make atonement in our busatsu ceremony, we shift our perspective from the perspective of time to the perspective of space. The space that we inhabit in our zazen, when we let go of our thoughts and return, and we realize here we are sitting with all sentient beings throughout space and time. The space that we inhabit is completely interpenetrated with all that has gone before. It's the product of all that has gone before. And it's interpenetrated with all possible futures. And so by being at one with all the evil karma, not by making ourselves one with, but by acknowledging the fact that we are here now makes me one with all that evil karma. When we acknowledge that fact, we realize that now we can do something in the next moment to sort of change the way things are going, much like the way the people on the Marie Kondo show, they're tidying up to make space for a new way of living for themselves. Sui Feng, one of the great Dong dynasty masters, had a wonderful saying, which to me sort of captures what's going on. He said, pick up the whole great earth in your fingers, and it's as big as a grain of rice. Then throw it down. So when we make atonement, we're picking up. And in our small body and mind here and now is the whole great earth interpenetrated with everything that has come before and everything that could possibly come. So just in our at-oneness, in our acknowledgement that we inhabit this space with all beings throughout space and time, we've picked up the whole great earth. But of course, just clutching like that isn't going to bake any bread. Then you've got to throw it down. You got to throw down that grain of rice that you've picked up. You've got to throw down your oneness with all beings throughout space of time. And how do we throw it down? Well, you know, in ordinary life, we do this all the time. You know, we pick up the toothbrush, then we brush our teeth. We pick up the hairbrush, and then we brush our hair. We go, oh, my tooth hurts, and we go to the dentist. You know, so all this highfalutin language is descriptive of our very ordinary experience. It's just that normally we because we feel like a separate self. We don't realize that our suffering and joy is experienced with all beings in that moment. But then it comes time, once we realize that, to act on it, to act as if we're not just this isolated, separate self anymore, but that we are sharing the life of all beings. And in the ceremony, we throw down that grain of rice, ultimately by renewing our bodhisattva vows, saving all beings, letting go of delusions, mastering all dharmas, and attaining the way that can't be attained. This is how we throw down the grain of rice. We act on our vows based on our atonement, based on our oneness with all being, based on the oneness with all our evil karma. When we atone, our evil karma is immediately cleared because we're no longer separate from it. We've created a tidy space where we can begin the Buddha work of the next moment. And of course, also in the Fusatsu ceremony, we bow to the energies that allow us to throw that grain of rice and proceed skillfully into the next moment. So we bow to Manjushri, for one, the deity who represents wisdom and cuts off delusions. It's what we've done when we make atonement. We cut away our delusion of separateness and smallness, and there we are, sharing the life of the sun, the moon, the stars, and all beings. We return to what has always been there, but somehow in our perpetual fog, we miss that fact. And then we pay tribute to Avalokiteshvara, the bodhisattva of compassion. Now, this is how we aspire to throw down that grain of rice that we picked up in the act of repentance. With just wisdom alone, just oneness with all beings, well, that's nice, but how does it function? Well, when we take that step, when we throw down that grain of rice, when we wash that diaper, when we take care of that parent in the old folks' home, then we become bodhisattvas. We manifest that wisdom as compassion through our actions. And another deity, bodhisattva in the mythological realm, is Samantabhadra, persistence. And as many of you know, Samantabhadra is depicted as riding on an elephant and taking step after step after step. And that quality is super important, because if we think that repentance is just something we do once a month at Fusatsu, we're really missing the point. We're picking up that grain of rice, the whole great earth, in each moment. And in each moment, we're throwing it down. moment after moment after moment. Practice doesn't stop. Now, practice is the beating of our hearts, the way we sit in zazen, the way we treat others, the way we treat ourselves. Samantabhadra. So if we're under some illusion that we're going to come to some kind of understanding about things and be able to sit in the Barca lounger of our wisdom, Samantabhadra reminds us that it's all about the practice of the Buddha way. The Buddha way does not appear without constant practice, ceaseless practice, as Dogen Zenji says. And fortunately, in addition to our bodhisattva vows, we have the precepts to guide us as we continually repent and continually move from repentance into the next moment and act as bodhisattvas. The precepts provide us with a guide. We have other guides as well. We have the six paramitas. Just staying with the precepts, I would like to focus on one of the precepts tonight, and it's the one of not being stingy, not sparing the Dharma assets. And, well, that storm outside is just a wonderful example of not being stingy. That wind is holding nothing back. That rain is driving against my glass doors with the full force of its energy and spirit. The natural forces that support our lives give without stint. The sun doesn't go, oh, well, gee, I don't feel like warming the earth today. What the heck? The ocean is wave upon wave. The forces that nourish our lives are given without stint. There's no, they blur into our very selves. We can't say that we are separate from the sun. We can't say that we are separate from the rain and the wind. Our lives are nourished generously by the 10,000 things. And it's only natural when we realize that, when we realize that in our little grain of rice, life are all the forces of the universe. It's just natural for us to want to open our hands and give generously in the next moment when we throw that grain of rice down over and over again. I know that Bernie Glassman liked to say that he was talking about money, but I think it could apply to anything. Everything is empty. Everything just circulates. So, you know, when money comes in, accept it gladly and let it go out and go to the next person. This is not sparing the Dharma assets. And indeed, the Zen peacemaker version of the precept is using all the ingredients of my life. And when we repent, and when we repent continually, when we atone continually and then move forward, we're constantly realizing this life that we share with all beings throughout space of time and time. And then we take the next step on that basis. And the next one, how could we possibly have the impression that it makes sense to hold on to this little thing for myself or that little thing to myself? How can we possibly think the point of our practice is to grab something called enlightenment and stick it in our robes? No, the process of atonement, the process of zazen, the process of practice is to become more and more open, more free, to receive with gratitude, and to give without stint or resentment. This is what it is to be a bodhisattva. And that doesn't mean you have to be some kind of legendary hero that you read about in a sutra. It can be as simple as smiling at someone on your these days on your computer, because on the street they can't see the smile beneath your mask. But I tell you, it's really kind of important that there be a smile beneath your mask. Even so, you can give something simple like that, a word of encouragement, just getting up in the morning with gratitude for the new day. That's a form of giving. There are many simple ways to give, even as we receive the nourishment of the entire universe and of all beings. Both Dogen and Bodhidharma make this point. Dogen Zenji says, one phrase, one verse, that's the 10,000 things and the 100 grasses. In other words, the oneness that we're all so fond of speaking is nothing other than all the varied phenomena interpenetrating our life. Completely inseparable from us, from this very moment in our lives. And he goes on to say, since there's one dharma, one realization, one picking up of that grain of rice in the terms that I've been talking about, he says that's the realization of all Buddhas and all the ancestral teachers. And he asks, where from the very beginning has there been any stinginess at all? There's stinginess in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the rain that's beating against my window. One has to be a deluded being like me and like all of us to be stingy when we realize the immensity of who we are and what supports our being. And Bodhidharma echoes that perspective when he says self-nature is subtle and mysterious. In the all-pervading Dharma, that's what we've been talking about. In the all-pervading Dharma, not being stingy with a single thing is called the precept of not being stingy, of not sparing the Dharma assets. And so all of us, in each day of our lives, in each moment of our lives, have the opportunity to celebrate Fusatsu, We have the opportunity to make atonement, to realize ourselves as being, sharing the life of all beings throughout space and time, to pick up that grain of rice, to be aware of it, and then the next moment to throw it down in bodhisattva action. Bodhisattva action, it could simply be putting one foot in front of the other to make breakfast for your spouse or your parent or your child. It can be a very simple thing. But the more we realize our intimate connection with all things, the more that becomes a reality of our experience, the more we can give of ourselves without holding back and receive the bounty of the universe without guilt. This is our birthright as Buddhas and as Bodhisattvas on the path of the Buddha way.